walk up there all cool and prepared. Good morning. I'm glad that you're here. Hope it's not a bad joke that I'm up here instead of somebody more qualified or wiser. But I'm glad that you're here and you're still here, even though I'm standing up. Must be an interesting challenge for the elders and deacons here to rotate so many qualified men, and I'm happy that that balance is has stayed consistent, and everyone gets to have their due part and participation. I'm happy that I'm able to do this. That the elders asked me to participate in this, and to bring something to you to think about. So we'll be using our Bibles a little bit this morning, as we should. We'll be looking from Matthew to James. So just to make sure we have the context, we'll go ahead and read from Matthew 1 to the end of James. That's a joke. Cue the laugh track, yeah. But I do hope you get your Bibles ready. We won't start in Matthew, we'll actually start in Acts if you're turning over. I've got to credit one of my uncles who's a preacher, Mitch Davis, who presented this lesson several years ago. I kind of took the core of it and tweaked it a little bit to fit what I wanted to say, but got to give credit where credit's due. Last Sunday, I came forward, and some things that were weighing on my mind, I was actually preparing for this lesson a good bit ahead of time, thinking about it, reading over several things, and that this lesson was something that really triggered me making the decision to admit wrong that I had done, that I had kind of buried and put away. And it's difficult to do that. It's super, super difficult to do that. It's hard to be vulnerable. So I say that kind of as a disclaimer. I'm not using any action I did last week to say, look at what I did, but really studying this just kind of pricked my heart and stepped on my toes of opening up God's word and seeing, you know, finding that conviction to do what's right. It's difficult to be vulnerable. It's difficult to open up. But thankfully, we have the blessing of being in a church family where we can do that. You know, this is a tool, essentially. We're able to help each other. We're tools for each other, to better ourselves, to obviously first and foremost glorify and worship God. But with us being here, being added to the church, there are countless blessings. And one of them is being able to be open and help each other. If you want to turn over to Acts chapter 2, turn or tap whatever device or book you may be using, Bible you may be using. I'll be reading from the ESV this morning. Acts 2. So the beginning of the book of Acts, the apostles have all gathered together, and it's soon after the ascension of Jesus. Now Peter's at Pentecost, and toward the end of the chapter, we see the attitudes of these new believers. We'll start in verse 42. Acts 2:42, to the end of the chapter. And they, the new Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, and to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added them to their number day by day, those who were being saved. Many people came together. We're not alone. We're in the household of God. Think about the seriousness of that. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're in the household of God. Just think about how heavy of a statement that is. This is not the fun club at Eastside or the Sunday meeting at Eastside. This is a household of God. This is where we're all gathered together and to use each other and to be a team together. Unfortunately, this is a team of humans. And we're humans. We mess up. We often give in to sin and to temptation, and we don't always root for the team in a sense. If you're there still in Ephesians chapter 4, just maybe same opening, Paul writes to the Ephesians in verses 1 through 3, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Not only are we to be this household of God, to do this, but we're to be eager in maintaining the unity. In Ephesians, it talks about how the church is a body. How there is God as the head, or Christ as the head, and we're the members of the body. There's so much that has to go into unity. And seeking after each other's well-being with gentleness and patience, bearing with one another, and we have to be eager to maintain this unity. You have to want it. We can't just show up and expect things to fall into place. That never happens. There has to be effort that's given. And it's difficult because when people are vulnerable, when we're in this vulnerable place, we naturally fall in those different human parts, and we judge each other. We judge things. We kind of look at people skeptically. Matthew 7:1, judge that you be not judged. It's difficult to, we let our human intuition rather than God's spirit see the person if they're being vulnerable. We kind of see and think about what they've done or where they've become. It's difficult to be vulnerable. So it makes sense for people to hesitate to confess to each other or to confess to the church as a whole, because we're human and it's difficult to see past those things. It's a risk to be vulnerable, I guess I should say. It's no wonder Christians have difficulty opening up so we can have full fellowship with one another. There's so many things that can get in the way if we're not being eager to be unified. So let's talk about a minute the growth of our church and what that means to be vulnerable. How does that kind of seems counterintuitive to be vulnerable and weak and that cause growth? Oh, I'm behind on my. Catching. This is the first time I've done PowerPoint since the 10th grade, so it's interesting to do this again. So let me backtrack, just pretend you didn't hear anything I just said. So Christians don't always live up to, we read that. No, we didn't. Yep, here we go. Chapter 4, I'm sorry. This is a serious thing, and I'm trying to keep up. Chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, didn't make it on these notes. That's my problem. 4 through 16. Nope. 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles and the prophets, evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking in truth and love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working perfectly, properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We're talking about Christians being vulnerable. It's Christians who are growing out of their comfort zone to do the work of the Lord, whether that's a public way of confession of being vulnerable or that's a private way of doing that. Christians are not satisfied. Christians that are truly seeking to do the right thing are not satisfied with the thought of this being a social club setting or genuine, but a genuine servant-minded heart. This is a place where we're not just marking in our calendar to fill a spot in our calendar or our schedule, but it's a place to help direct our souls. Being vulnerable, having that weakness seems counterintuitive, seems backwards, like I was saying a little bit ago. It seems, to a human, it seems weird to say strength comes from being yourself being vulnerable. That's what you do when you work out. When you work out, you lift weights, you run, you exercise, you're tearing that muscle. You're making it weak, and you feel weak afterward. You feel kind of awful. But it's that rebuilding that your body does to make you stronger. In the same way that we read in Ephesians, God gave these people the proper people that they need and the knowledge that they needed to rebuild these people, to build them up after they were vulnerable, confessing to each other that we're not able to do these things. But certainly God gives us the strength we need, but we are the tools that God uses to help each other out. It also seems strange to admit that you're vulnerable, or it's difficult, but it seems that's another backwards thing. There's the example of keeping up with the Joneses, and nowadays, 2017, everyone seems to be the Joneses. Whatever people post online, they only post the best sense of themselves. They want to keep up and say, this is my life. I have no issues. I don't want to appear that anything is wrong. I certainly don't want to appear that I'm hurt. And that's something we have to grow out of, and where humility comes into play. So this is not just a social club where we come together and have a good time, but it's a place where we come to help those who need healing. It's a place where we come to help each other get to heaven and help each other out. Brother Richter, in class last week or not too long ago, we were studying 1 Corinthians here in the auditorium, and he was talking about how the way this is, the way the church works in this way. He said, if my knee hurts, my instinct is to reach down and rub my knee. It's for another member of my body to come and help that member of my body that's hurting. So is the same way as the church. If there's a member of the body hurting, the rest of the member, all the attention goes to that person, goes to that member to comfort and to help heal and to feel better. And that's what gives strength in church's growth, is that help and camaraderie that God instructs us to do. If you want to flip over to James chapter 5. In doing these things, we're fulfilling passages like what we're about to read. James 5, 16. I'm sorry. Let's see. James 5, 16. Oh, that's 1 Peter. James 5 talks about how we should confess to each other our sins and wrongdoing. 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. and then Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So we as Christians want to, that's our aim, is to fulfill the law of Christ. And that's exactly what is written here in Galatians. How do you fulfill the law of Christ? Bear one another's burdens. The act of helping someone who's being vulnerable. This is directed toward people who are, this is directed to all of us, being vulnerable and helping those who are being vulnerable. But it's difficult. It's hard to remember how difficult it is to come up here or to go to a brother or sister and explain your struggles and show your vulnerability. So being vulnerable and trusting one another has to go hand in hand. Brethren are reaching out for prayers to help our church family, exposing their sins and weaknesses or intimate petitions, trusting that the family will not harm them. That gives such great opportunity for Satan to instigate gossip or anger and envy and so many other things that can be things hung over someone's head and their perspective on that person changed forever if you give in to the sin that so easily could be presented. So if I were in the pews right now listening to this sermon, I would be tempted to kind of look over and look up or look around and see, is so-and-so squirming, thinking, because I know what they've done or I know how they've behaved or whatever. I'm talking to everyone here. And it's good that my mouth is closest to my ears because I probably need to hear it more than anyone. This is a beach. It's really hard to search for beach online and get a no people or people that are modest, so that's what we'll have to deal with. What does this look like? It's a pile of ice, right? This is another beach. That's more ice. So I'm tempted to look across the room and think, this person struggles, this person's weak. I hope they're listening to this. I hope they're paying attention to this sermon or whatever's going on. I hope he heard that prayer because he was talking about him. This is just a beach. This is not ice. This is dry ice. If you touch it with your bare skin, you can get third-degree burns and have scarring for the rest of your life. This is a beach, but all these men are risking their lives. On that very beach a year ago, a boy was sucked in because this is 90% quicksand. And that's just ice. It's easy to see these things. It's easy to live life and think everything is okay. We don't realize that so much of the world, so much of our life is quicksand. Or the things that we all assume is okay, we're all able to be victims of sin. I hope that analogy worked. Certainly with studying and wisdom and experience, you can go past and see the dangers that are ahead. There are many of us that have that, older or more experienced. But we all have areas in our life that we ignore, that we overlook, or sometimes just straight sink into. So how do we manage this as a church and consider the risk of vulnerability or being vulnerable? We're all sinners. Romans 3:23, for all sin and fallen short of God. We're all sinners who are or can be saved by the blood of Christ. blessings aside, we have trials and struggles that are real. We're all struggling with something. So what's tearing you down? What is it that you need help with? Because there's something. You may think help is too strong of a word for you. What are you covering up that you think you can deal with alone? That whole list of, basically, sins or situations someone could get trapped in. But I'm just going to read the third verse of Pure in Heart that we just sung. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be, that I thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin. Rein thou my soul within. Pure in heart, help me to be. Keep me from secret sin. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's what the church is for, is to help those who are hurting. But we're not going to know, or a brother or sister is not going to know you're vulnerable unless it's said. So seek out someone, a brother or sister, or you can that you can confide in. Or you can seek out this church family to pray for you. Tell someone you smell smoke before the house is burnt to the ground. You don't want to tell someone, come to somebody and say, my life is completely ruined, and give any kind of scenario that you can imagine. We're to help each other in times of weakness and to be vulnerable. You know, it's only for a few seconds. To admit to somebody what you're struggling with, or to admit to the church, there's that 2 seconds of awkward uncomfortableness because it's a shock or it's something that has to be dealt with, but it's immediately followed with love and concern and help that's willing to be given. There are people here. Actually, everyone here is dealing with something, publicly or privately. Sin is sin. Certainly, going to God is what you should do. But sometimes it's so hard and heavy on yourself, and God knows that. That's why He's instructed us to go to each other and to go to the church and ask for prayers. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's so much that can be done, and you don't have to struggle alone, because others will take on your burden and pray with you and think of you and talk with you. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to hurt, because healing comes after hurt. If there's anything that anyone can do for you, you can do so now as we stand, as we sing.